Sexton, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The man who shot and killed three people Monday night at the East Lansing campus of Michigan State University is no longer a threat. Deputy MSU Police Chief Chris Rosman.
The suspect in this incident was located outside of the MSU campus, and it does appear that that suspect has died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Police say the man had multiple magazines and two firearms. It's not clear what, if any, connection he had to the university. Five people were wounded, some with life-threatening injuries. Again, Chief Rosman.
We are relieved to no longer have an active threat on campus, while we realize that there is so much healing that will need to take place after this.
The death toll in Turkey and Syria from earthquakes a week ago has now risen to 37,000. The BBC's Quentin Somerville is in northern Syria.
The Syrian Civil Defense Force, also known as the White Helmets, did what they could with pickaxes and crowbars. The rescuers, who receive funding from the British government, lack modern rescue equipment.
More than tough on us because
Ismail Abadullah is a volunteer.
And we know, and the whole world knows, that this disaster is bigger than anyone. It's beyond our capacity. No one responded. No one.
One person was killed, eight others injured Monday when a man driving a U-Haul truck swerved onto sidewalks and plowed into cyclists and scooter riders in Brooklyn. The driver was arrested. The White House Monday tried to end speculation that the unidentified objects that American fighter planes have shot down recently came from another planet. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
I just wanted to make sure we address this from the White House. I know there have been questions and concerns about this, but there is no indication of aliens or extraterrestrial activity with these recent takedowns.
A new CDC report says teen girls in the U.S. are dealing with high levels of mental health challenges and violence. WSB reporter Sabrina Cupid is in Atlanta.
About a third of teenage girls said they had seriously considered attempting suicide. Overall, more than 40% of boys and girls said that they felt sad or hopeless within the past year and were unable to do their regular activities like schoolwork or sports for at least 2 weeks.
If you got relief checks from your state, there is good news, says CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
If you did receive one of these checks, maybe a resident in California who got a middle-class tax refund or a taxpayer in Alaska that received an energy relief payment, or one of the many states affected by natural disaster, the money that you received from your state will not be taxable on a federal level.
How tough is it for police departments to recruit new officers? The Montgomery County, Maryland Police Force has 722 and more than 100 openings. This is CBS News.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bach Day.
It is. It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Earl Ingram.
Mandela Barnes.
Yeah, the stories that I talked about, the stories I share, my own personal experience, was not much different from the experience from a lot of other people across the state. People generally want to be able to, you know, exist together in harmony.
Working hard every day to inform, enlighten, and bring our community together. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Over the years, you've really kept up with the times. You're on social media.
Like, dislike, block.
Maintained your health.
10,000 steps. I'm a beast.
You even programmed your own smart home.
In 10 minutes, remind me that I'm a genius.
In 10 minutes, I'll remind you that you're a genius.
If you can do all that, you can definitely save for retirement. Just go to aceyourretirement.org, a free online tool sponsored by AARP that can help you get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. At aceyourretirement.org, you'll meet Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach, and in just 3 minutes, get personalized recommendations to help boost your retirement savings. They're easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's brought to you by AARP, so you know they got your back.
You are a genius.
Take charge of your retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org now. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, it's a mad radio Monday. Does it feel just a little less devilish up in here?
Oh, man. Once we're on, it's always devilish. Happy Mad Monday to you, Evan, on the board. Thank you, sir. Our fair audience, thanks for joining us. I love Mad. I mean, like Mad Magazine, when I was growing up, it got me some of my, you know, first political satire through Mad Magazine. What, me worry?
Dominic, the new brand in Madison, Wisconsin. You get it. Madison.
Ah.
Mad Radio.
Not because you're an angry Karen.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be accused. Mad dog lefties. I thought about this sort of after the fact, after I'd heard the announcement of the new brand, and I was aware. You know, I got a few insights. I knew it was coming. Begrudgingly. But anyways. But I thought to myself, you know, you always got to be careful when you moniker yourself, T-Bone. You know, is it something worth fighting over on the playground? We'll find out. Mad Radio it is. And not only that, Dom, new call signs. Do you realize at midnight last night, the call signs changed? WMDX, I believe. Like the Acura. Less so like the rapper guy.
WMDX,
not DMX.
MDX, Mad Radio.
Mad Dog X. Mad Dog Radio? We'll see. Mad Radio.
Mad Radio.
That's the new brand. It launched at 6 a.m. this morning. For those that paid attention this weekend, thanks for listening. Charlie Behrens. I like binged listen to Charlie Behrens in Madison. The Cripes cast. I heard, I think there were six of them. And then he launched the new one on noon for the Civic Media Network. So I think I listened to 7 hours of Cripes cast this weekend. And it's pretty good stuff. I found myself enjoying the Charlie Behrens. One other.
I can tell your Wisconsin accent is really peaking today.
Say hi to your folks there, hey.
Oh, yeah, there, hey.
Also, this morning, I felt quite honored over the course of the weekend. Wrapped up some final business details. I don't often take Sunday morning meetings, business meetings, but I did yesterday. I worked on the Sabbath. God wouldn't be happy, but I needed to.
Wow, Crudy, you sinner.
I needed to. We were rolling out the new Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown, on the Earl Ingram this morning.
The Gravedigger, yes.
And I Met the grave digger, Gilbert Brown, once again yesterday. I'd met him on Brady Street. He came down once upon a time to visit his friend Earl, who was broadcasting with us on Brady Street. And I'd met him, you know, I guess technically as a fine sideline reporter slash Cub photographer working for ABC back in the early 90s when he first came in the league. So I'm sure I shot a little video of him, probably was in the press gaggle once or twice. But Dom, I can tell you, I never hung out with a big guy like Gilbert Brown. And when I say big, I don't mean physically of stature big. I'm telling you, this guy, Shaquille O'Neal's got nothing on this guy. This guy has an enormous personality. I mean, he makes me seem like a shrinking violet. I'm telling you, dude, Gilbert Brown, a hell of a fun guy. Now, E-Bone, are you listening? Need a little help? So anyways, Gilbert Brown was in Wisconsin. He was at the RV show at the Alliant Energy Center, apparently doing a special appearance on behalf of the Gilbert Brown. It's the foundation, and then the foundation acknowledges a lot of different children's charities. So we had our business meeting, and we got him there just a few minutes late, sort of Dominic time, walked him down to the convention center. And a very generous guy, autographed a couple of footballs. I tried to stick some money in the till. He's like, no, this is my gift to you. So thank you, Gilbert. Should have had him sign a crudy, though. It says Mike. But I didn't even ask. He just did it, you know, wrote one out to me. So thank you, Gilbert. And I thought the least I can do, you know, now that I've got this friendly working acquaintanceship with this guy, is make sure his first date, the launch, goes well, right?
Yeah, sometimes the tech, you never know, man.
Well, so I got up before the sun this morning.
Ooh, crudy.
And I heard the launch of Mad Radio here in Madison at 6 a.m. Central Time. It launched with the Pat Kreitlow Show. Heard the entirety of that. I don't often, no offense, Pat. You know, I'm not the early morning guy. That's why we're not the morning guys, Dom. It's because I'm not a morning guy, and you're not really a morning guy, more so than I. But I was up before the sun, got in the car, drove down, and hung out with Gilbert Brown, and then got to see him. And I mean, this guy's got an enormous personality. You're going to love him as part of the Earl Ingram shows on Monday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. And if you missed it, we're going to play it out across the network this Saturday after the Charlie Barron's Crepes cast, 1 o'clock. But I got one little snippet from my boy, Gilbert Brown. And he's trash-talking our boy Earl just a little bit. But, you know, he's kind of comparing the old Earl Ingram show to the Gilbert Brown gravedigger added new Gilbert, you know, Earl Ingram and Gilbert Brown Monday Morning Edition. You got this for us, E-Bone?
No, he's still working.
Not yet. I'm pulling it up.
Well, I'm glad I brought the story up now then. So, anyways, Dom, let's turn to the headlines because I'm dead in the water. 844-967-2789.
We'll get to it, Curdy. The headlines. You know, I always like to see when, you know, Wisconsin Republicans are mentioned in the national news. Yeah, it makes me reminds me that, you know, the nation is watching. People are paying attention to what goes on here in the state of Wisconsin. So when I saw the headline over at the Raw story, I was wondering, is there a possibility? Is there a chance that some Wisconsin politician could be involved? And you know the answer. Here's the headline. Jim Jordan's first hearing mocked over conspiracy theorist witnesses, according to the New Civil Rights Movement.
Badger conspiracy theorists?
Aren't those the best kind?
Dominic, I've got a few guesses. What about Scott Fitzgerald?
No.
Glenn Grothman, the most Trumpian House member, Wisconsin 6 CD Representative Glenn Grothman.
Nope.
Well, then, Dom. Wait. Could it be the newest congressman, the newly enshrined congressman from the 3rd CD of the great state of Wisconsin, the insurrectionist himself, Van Orden? Is it that dude?
It is not.
Well, then, it could only be Rojo.
It could only be Rojo. Its first hearing isn't until Thursday, but already Chairman Jim Jordan's select subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government is being mocked after the list of witnesses was released. NBC News' Garrett Hake reports testifying before the committee on Thursday will be ex-Democratic Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley, and former FBI Special Agent Nicole Parker. Gabbard left the Democratic Party and is now independent.
Is Putin not available?
And Gabbard is also a Fox News contributor. 2019, Hillary Clinton suggested she was a Russian asset being groomed for a third-party presidential run. She sued the former Democratic presidential nominee and former U.S. Secretary of State, but later dropped the defamation lawsuit. Also, Gabbard shared false information, Forbes reported last year, about U.S. involvement in Ukraine biological laboratories, giving credence to an unfounded Russian-backed conspiracy theory. There's your Putin crudy. The U.S. has warned could serve as a justification for Russia to use biological and chemical weapons against Ukraine.
Yeah, but what about Rojo Dom?
Senator Johnson, who narrowly won re-election after being among the top promoters of Donald Trump's big lie, is a conspiracy theorist who uses his Senate seat to spread false information about COVID and a host of other crises. And I'll jump down here in the article. Again, this was at the Raw story. Some were quick to mock Chairman Jordan's choice of witnesses to testify before his subcommittee's first hearing. Here's a quote. Johnson actively pushed the Wisconsin legislature and vice president to overturn the election. Tulsi used her perch in Congress to secretly meet with Assad and whitewash his war crimes. So in a sense, they are indeed experts on weaponizing government, mocked former Hillary Clinton foreign policy spokesman Jesse Leerich. Yeah, Ron Johnson. He's going to testify in this weaponization subcommittee hearing with GYM Jordan. Great. One hell of a representative we have there in Congress. Thank you, Wisconsin.
Dominic, maybe I was, you know, momentarily distracted. But did you state what Chris Saliza had to say about Rojo, the Senate's leading conspiracy theorist?
I did not. Go ahead.
Well, let me read just a little bit of the... You know, I think some of this is important, Dom. CNN's Chris Saliza branded Rojo the Senate's leading conspiracy theorist. He's number one! Just 1 year ago, the Washington Post reported last May that U.S. Senator Johnson expressed openness, that's their quote, to fervent anti-vaccination commentators. And again, here's a quote, Diam. Idea that maybe the coronavirus vaccines are a conduit for deliberately giving people AIDS.
Ron Johnson.
We're purposefully infecting people with AIDS per the logic of Ron Johnson through the brilliant plan of inseminating them with a vaccination.
He just expressed openness to the idea that, you know, maybe, I mean, you never really know. Hey, Crudy, just like Tucker Carlson, the senator's just asking questions, man. Just curious, you know, trying to help out, you know, representing the citizens of the great state of Wisconsin.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a brand new affiliate, Madison, Wisconsin. The mothership, Dom. It's Mad Radio. MDX. Apparently we play more of this kind of music here. Do we? The right stuff? Do we play that? I didn't think we did. That's not a tradition we want to start on day one. Come back with us, more Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open. Join us before John Nichols at 4:30.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 31 overnight. Under clear skies, south winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 50. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow night. Lows around 41. Overcast. 3 to 5 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. You can join us. 844-967-2789. John Nichols from The Nation and the Cap Times will join us at 4:30.
You know what, Tom? I'm going to call it an audible. It's not going the way I thought it was going to go, so let's do a little math on the radio, because I love doing that.
I never love doing math on the radio, especially on a Monday, dude.
You know, the budget. The budget's sort of a big deal. Also, the State of the Union, sort of a big deal. That will be tomorrow night, aired live right here on the Civic Media Network. And then we'll have a post-game show. You know, some of the finest guests we could have had this week, Dom, are going to be part of the post-game show. I have made a sacrifice for the greater good of the nation and shared the, you know, contact information of Joe Sopecki. He's going to be a part. Our conservative friend, Bill McCashin, he's going to be a part. Matt Flynn from right here at, you know, Civic Media, he's going to be a part. Todd Alba's going to do some of the anchoring. And news director Terry Bell. So Joe Biden going live at 8 Central Time Tuesday night. Post-game show provided by Civic Media. And then we don't even know where he's going, what he's doing. But we're covering it, Tom. At least I'll be there. Wednesday, President Joe Biden coming to Madison. I'll tell you more if they tell us anything.
We'll tell you when they tell us.
So in the short run, Tom, let's do something a little different. Let's do a little math on the radio. One of my favorite endeavors. Found this little article at the online daily, urbanmilwaukee.com. Big numbers drive the budget decisions. Governor Tony Evers will give lawmakers his proposed two-year state budget February 21st. So a couple of weeks till Tony's soon-to-be shredded budget's handed over to the Republicans, right, Dom?
Mm-hmm.
To put some of those numbers in the budget in perspective, here is a version of the Trivial Pursuit State Government Edition.
I can see people's eyes glazing over right now. No, this is good. We'll give you some numbers. It's pretty easy to digest.
We'll keep it digestible. Digestible chunks. First and foremost, Dom, the first question. State government's general fund account. That's the checkbook, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we do cash accounting here in the state. Although we heard prior Republican administrations claim they were going to put us on generally accepted accounting principles. Scott Walker never really did he?
No, nor did he ever solve a $3.6 billion budget deficit, but I digress.
So when we talk about the general fund account, the checkbook, we're talking about how much cash the state's got in its account. And that's the type of accounting it does. Just like broke people do. If I got cash in my pocket, $1? I ain't broke yet.
That's right.
That's the way it works here in state governance. It's not the best way. It's not the accepted accounting principle way, but it's the way we do it, apparently.
Well, I mean, you can have that in that cash accounting system. You can have that dollar in your pocket and owe money. But as long as you have the dollar, You're good to go.
So let's talk about the two biggest fundraisers for the state budget, the state checkbook. The personal income tax, about 45% of the budget. That's about $9.21 billion of general fund revenues. And state sales tax, which is about 34%, about $7 billion in the last budget year. That's a 1 year. Typically, they roll out a, well, they do roll out a two-year budget. So the numbers will be multiplied by two. But what they're describing here is single-year expenditures and revenues. The third biggest source of general fund income, Dom, the corporate income tax brought in about 14.5% of revenues last year. Now, I would point out that is substantially larger than the federal government. Do you recall what it's at, Tom? The federal government, how much tax?
As a percentage? Oh, yeah, certainly not 14.4%.
Of total revenues that corporations pay in this nation.
It's gone down over the years.
It was 6%. I think we're down to like 3.6% that corporations pay on a federal level. All the profitable corporations in the nation only pay like 3.6% of the taxes. And you go home at the end of the month, you wonder why you got no money left in your checkbook. It's because the government already took your money to feed their spending habit. But anyways.
Yeah, and don't forget ExxonMobil, who just came in with, what, $56 billion in one-year profits? Yeah, remember all that? Remember the gas inflation?
Joe Biden did that.
No, it wasn't Joe Biden. It was the oil companies, because now as they continue to report across the board, massive profits. It's amazing. They pushed it up in a political cycle knowing they were playing a game and cashing it out, and lots of people fell for it. Crudy, that's the other side of the equation. What about the expense side? Here we go.
Tom's Bar Tab. That's got to be number one.
It's like 3%. Aid to schools, the Department of Public Instruction, gets $7.22 billion. Healthcare, the Department of Health Services, gets $4.43 billion. Aid to local governments and property tax relief, another $2.55 billion. Prisons, $1.3 billion. And the UW, $1.19 billion. Good to see we spend more money on prisons than we do on the UW system here in Wisconsin.
Isn't that crazy?
Those five programs account for about 84% of all general fund spending.
Not to take you too far down the rabbit hole, Dom, but Wisconsin expends about twice as much money on incarcerating people as the state of Minnesota does. And it's not because our prisons cost a lot more, although we spend a hell of a lot of people and hell of a lot of money incarcerating people. But like twice as much as our neighbors, you know, because I guess we're more unlawful. Here's a couple of interesting syntaxes, Dom. Wisconsin's tax on liquor and wine with alcohol content, 21% or $3.25 per gallon.
Alcohol content above 42 proof.
Last raised in 1981.
Come on.
Pack of cigarettes, $2.52 per pack. Taxation. That was last raised in 2009. And they're really, really sticking it to those that would drive SUVs. Oh, no. Not the gas guzzlers. They're going to stick it to the people driving the hybrids and the plug-ins. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Got a fine guest straight from Iceland. Ice, John Nichols, come back with us.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Special Report. Michigan State University police say the man who shot and killed three people Monday night has shot and killed himself. Police say he was found with multiple magazines and two weapons. It was a terrifying night.
I see these people running in my direction, and I sprint. I'm jumping down flights of stairs, and the cops are sitting there. They're like, okay, let us see your waistbands, hands up. Everyone's freaked out. Everyone's terrified, and it's a lot. It's truly a lot.
MSU Deputy Police Chief Chris Roseman.
There is no longer a threat to campus. We believe there to only be one shooter in this incident. and there is no longer a need to shelter in place on campus.
Rosman says 5 people were wounded. Some of them have life-threatening injuries.
Out of respect for their families, as we work through the process, we are not going to identify or confirm if any of the victims at this point are MSU students.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a bad radio Monday. That's the new name up around here. We got the same fine guest, this time live. Well, not the same fine guest. We got John Nichols. He is a fine guest. He's a friend of the Devil's, and he's in Iceland, but he called in today. Thanks, John. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, John.
It's good to be with both of you.
John, why are you in Iceland? I mean, it's none of our business, but may I ask? No. It's kind of dark there right now, you said.
It wasn't snowy enough in Wisconsin. it was snowy enough, dark enough, cold enough. No, I'm interviewing the Prime Minister and doing some reporting.
Well, excellent. I'm glad somebody's working around here today. Yeah. So, John Nichols,
well, I'm trying to.
Is it still fair to ask you about the State of the Union address? You know, back here in the States.
It. I mean,
Biden's got a big speech tomorrow night. What would you expect, John?
Well, they have televisions here, and so
do they in Iceland?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing but true, and computers the whole bit. And so I will definitely be watching it and reading the transcripts and listening and paying attention to it. And you're right. It is a very big speech. And here's why. You know, Biden had a pretty good midterm. In fact, certainly did better than expected. Democrats held, not just held the Senate, but improved their position. They almost kept the House. They definitely improved their position substantially in the states. So it was really one of the best midterm elections for Democrats in the modern era. And so for a variety of reasons, the American people seem to get that Biden has been a relatively effective president. And yet the polling suggests that there's some gap, you know, on you know, whether they think he should run for re-election, a host of other issues. This State of the Union address is an opportunity for him to make his case, right? To say, look, look at those unemployment numbers. Look at the fact that it appears we might avoid a recession, even though everybody seemed to be saying not too long ago that we were steering straight toward it. And a host of other, you know, decent economic indicators. And so he's got an opportunity to really make a speech to basically working families of America and say, you know, what he's done policy-wise has worked and that he'd like to do a lot more of it. Obviously, then he can get some jabs in at Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans in Congress, suggesting that they're more about obstruction than actually getting anything done. And, you know, outline something of a vision, do a little bit of a call to action. It's, you know, look, State of the Union address is generally, in any given year, the best bully pulpit that a president has, gets the most attention, gets the most clips played on radio, television, et cetera. So by any measure, for Biden, who by all accounts appears to want to run for re-election, this is a very important speech.
John, my understanding, 36 million observed the speech live last year, and that's a lot bigger than the Game 7 of the World Series. Our fine guest, John Nichols, live from Iceland, talking about the State of the Union address. We're going to play it out live here on the radio, John. But I would say, yes, Biden wants to run for re-election, but I also think the American people are concerned, and I don't mean to come off as ageist, John, but Biden would be 82 years old. I don't think it's as much about telling the American people what Dems have accomplished, although I certainly think that should be part. That's what the roadshow on Wednesday is about, John. I think he's got to make the case for why he's the right guy still to lead this country, John. And is he a diminished candidate? Is he up to this task rhetorically?
Well, that's what we'll see tomorrow night, right? I mean, if he delivers a strong speech, that's going to be highly beneficial to him by any measure. If he delivers just a, you know, lackluster speech, it probably doesn't do all that much damage because, you know, rhetorical expectations for Joe Biden are not as high as they were, say, for Ronald Reagan or Barack Obama. And so for a variety of reasons, he sort of has a cushion here. He can give a decent speech and get pretty good marks. If he gives a great speech, obviously, that is highly to his advantage. But we'll see. I mean, look, I can tell you that as Biden positions as a likely candidate for reelection, this speech takes on tremendous significance because obviously, the Republicans will say he gave a lousy speech. Democrats will say he gave a good speech. at the heart of it is the question of what the average American hears and thinks. Now, remember, most voters won't watch the speech live. They'll hear clips from it. They'll you know, get a flavor of it. They'll get a sense of it on the radio, on television, in some other form. And so what his speechwriters are going to be doing, and I've written a lot over the years about how speechwriters construct these speeches, what they'll be doing is looking to create those, you know, great soaring lines, those moments where the president says something that really does A, sound great and get the best possible response in the chamber, you know, members rising to their feet and applauding. That's one of the reasons why Republicans don't applaud for Democratic presidents anymore, because they don't want to feed into that. But the fact of the matter is that there's enough Democrats there to get a pretty rousing round of applause if you know, the president says something that really does resonate. So obviously they're going to be working very, very hard on that. And that isn't just the words, right? The character of the words. It's also Biden's delivery, right? And I know this is getting real technical and it's getting down into the minutia of how a speech is given, but all of this matters as, you know, again, as you're positioning for a potential reelection run.
Our guest, John Nichols from The Nation and Cap Times here in Madison, Wisconsin. John, while the president has some really good economic numbers, and now obviously the State of the Union and going on the tours and the surrogates getting out there, the Republicans now have taken control of the House, and they've been doing some very important things, John, I want to get your impressions on. You know, like you know, kicking Ilhan Omar off the Foreign Relations Committee, or putting up votes about, you know, condemning socialism, and what's coming up on Thursday, the subcommittee led by Jim Jordan on the weaponization mm-hmm. of the federal government with guests such as Tulsi Gabbard, Senator Ron Johnson, and Chuck Grassley. We look at how this administration has been performing and contrast it to the newly minted Republican megas in the House. John, how do you think that compares?
Well, you know, I think, you know, one has to expect Jim Jordan to do a good job because he's a UW graduate. so that's got to count for something. But no, I mean, look, right now the Republicans are using their control of the House largely for symbolic purposes, right? To score political points or to deliver political messages. That's what was happening last week with Ilhan Omar. It was clearly retribution for two Republican members, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar getting kicked off their committees for saying things that were actually threatening to other House members. Now they're kicking Ilhan Omar off because of her opinions, right? Because of things she said over the years. And look, she said some things that, especially in her first months as a member of Congress, that were controversial and got criticism from Democrats and Republicans at the moment. But by all accounts, she's been an exemplary member of the Foreign Affairs Committee. Even Republicans have said over the years that she's done a very, very good job. She's extremely serious about human rights. She's extremely serious about parts of the world that don't get a lot of attention. And so kicking her off was damaging, not to Ilhan Omar. She'll still have a platform and she'll be listened to and heard, maybe more so now than ever, but to the House, because you're losing a member, someone who came to the United States as a refugee, has tremendous experience in her own life and tremendous connections around the world. And it's also damaging to the United States because, you know, you want these committees, especially foreign affairs, to be made up of people who are strong, who actually know how to deal with these issues. And even if you disagree with them, who, you know, really are engaged. And so bad move there. And it looked bad, I think, on a variety of levels. Now, as regards the socialism resolution, you know, the Republicans condemned, you know, the horrors of socialism, and they put everything into the pot, you know, from Stalin to Norway. And that's a pretty broad brush to paint with, you know. And all I'll say about this is that it's ironic that next year, the Republicans, next summer, they will hold their convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a city that in the 20th century was governed by three of the highest profile socialist mayors in the United States. And by all accounts, they were very good mayors. They got extremely high marks for how they governed the city and got a lot of credit for, you know, creating Milwaukee in its best sense, you know, building it out in its best sense. And, you know, amazingly, for people who are concerned about the horrors of socialism, the Republicans will gather in the shadows of the Daniel Hone Memorial Bridge, which stretches across the waterfront in Milwaukee and is named for Milwaukee's longest serving socialist mayor. So I think they're sort of maybe wrestling with reality here in a rather bizarre way. But that seems to be what a lot of this is about, is, you know, making these bold statements, doing these big things, even if they aren't grounded in reality and even if they aren't grounded in any kind of, you know, practical, you know, work to achieve or do, you know, good things for the American people. And as Mark Pocan pointed out, the congressman from South Central Wisconsin, it sure looks like this attack on the quote-unquote horrors of socialism is really kind of laying the groundwork for an assault on Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part.
John, NBC had a news survey out. 31% believe Biden is a competent and effective president, and 71% say the country is on the wrong track. And I want to get your sense on this. When I hear the wrong track thing, I wonder, because in my opinion, that could be, you know, it's very subjective, right? Overturning Roe v. Wade is bad. You know, lack of action on gun safety is bad. Trying to privatize Social Security is bad. I mean, those some people could look at that and say, well, it's on the bad, it's on the wrong track. But do you attribute that necessarily to this administration, John?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's sort of a general sense of you know, discomfort. And, you know, why would that be? Well, we just went through a pandemic that, you know, no matter what you think about the government response to it, was incredibly destabilizing at the local, state, and national levels, put a lot of people through a lot of economic pain, in many cases, physical pain. You know, well over a million people died. You know, this is something pretty serious, and we just went through that. We've got a lot of other challenges as a society, too. We're told that, you know, we're way behind on dealing with the climate crisis. We have not begun to deal with income inequality and a host of other issues. So when you get a wrong track number, I think that it's probably legitimate. I think there really are a huge number of Americans who think we're on the wrong track. But I don't think that they're necessarily in agreement on what the track is, right? There's a portion of people who think we're on the wrong track because, you know, like Ron DeSantis thinks they're teaching the wrong things in schools in Florida. And then there's another portion who think we're on the wrong track because there actually are Republicans talking about, you know, undermining Social Security. You know, at the end of the day, I don't think a right track, wrong track poll necessarily tells you that, you know, somebody's in trouble politically, that a president, you know, will get beat because people think the country's on the wrong track. However, I will say one important thing. If the Republicans were to really do a reset and to nominate somebody who had an appealing message about, you know, how to get the country on track, that might have resonance, right? You could get traction. The problem is, for the Republicans, there's very little indication that they're going to do that. By all accounts, they're still reasonably likely to nominate the guy who lost the last election, and because people thought we were on the wrong track. I think on balance, I don't think it's the best measure.
John Nichols, the American people think we're on the wrong track because there's not enough John Nichols on the Devil's Advocates radio show. And I tell them it's because John calls us collect from Iceland. John, really appreciate you making some time for us today, man. You be well. We'll catch up to you when you're back stateside.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
All right. Thank you, John.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gina Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 31 overnight. Under clear skies, south winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 50. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow night. Lows around 41. Overcast. 3 to 5 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Sixty percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Who knows it? It's bad, and I do not care. Who knows it? I'm mad, Maddie, mad, mad.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open. Join us. 844-967-2789.
Now, you're a little mad, aren't you, Dom? Get it? Mad?
Yeah,
radio?
I mean, I got it. Yeah, this can't play some Mad Season, dude. I mean, there's other mad things out there.
Don't be a mad dog. thank you, John Nichols. Never a mad dog. Never goes off the reservation. Well, although he's out of the zip code right now, man. Iceland. Who's paying that phone bill, John? Appreciate it, though, sir. It's always toll-free around here at 844-967-2789. The State of the Union address going off tomorrow. And I think it's a big deal, Dom. I think it's Joe Biden's last chance in front of 36 million. I mean, not the entire electorate. You'd get 150, 180 million people voting in a presidential, depending on the year. But 36 million, that's a substantial number. That's just those listing on the Civic Media app tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And again, we're going to do it live for you, 8 Central Time. Joe's speech, Uncle Joe, President Joe to you, Dom. Joe Biden, that is. He will give his State of the Union address, and they'll do the Kabuki Theater, the ups and the downs, and the perhaps the you lies, Dom. are you expecting any sort of disruption in the chambers?
Sure.
And yeah, I'm looking
on.
At
I mean,
look, you,
look
at Lauren Boebert.
The mega crowd? I mean, I think the was that Wilson, the you lie? That'll be tamed by comparison. I mean, these megas, I mean, they ransacked the Capitol. Half of them think that was totally fine. So, yeah, I don't think there's going to be any problem with some of these jackasses, shooting some spitballs tomorrow.
Do you think there will be cigarette smoking in the House chambers during the State of the Union address? I'm not clear if the entirety of the audience is aware. Republicans really like carcinogenic smoking. Not, like the cool kind, weed smoking.
I thought I saw
they like the
like
cigarette
C-SPAN
smoking.
When they were arguing over the speaker thing and doing all those votes for all those days, I thought I saw C-SPAN pan somebody who was hitting a vape. Like an old white dude hitting a vape, like
on
secretly,
the floor,
on the in the house.
Don't act like you've never hit a vape on the house floor, Dom.
I mean that's why you have vapes.
I thought they had lifted the ban on cigarettes, and they also they removed the magnometers, so the Trump supporters could get in.
Yeah,
right?
But the fence is back up, and that's a big problem apparently with the Republicans because if you put a fence up and have security there, how the hell are they going to ransack the Capitol again? I can see why they'd be mad about that.
It is Kabuki Theater. I think there'll be some quiet heckling. I think there'll be a smattering of, slight disruptions. I think that Joe Biden might get distracted. We're all prone to get distracted. Someone's talking loud in the back, Dom. But we don't see any Republican Congress people screaming at the president mid-speech as they have been prone to do in the past.
It's always night. Always hope. I mean, there's always hope, Crudy. That's what we have to hold on to.
No,
we
know.
Hope the megas won't act like megas. We hope that won't happen. But odds are, megas mega, man. Mega gonna do what mega gonna do. So if they start yelling, I would not be surprised.
Nor I. Will you be drinking during the event, Dom? Yeah. These nighttime speeches, often they turn into, you know, bingo events. You put your name or different words on the bingo card, or maybe you just pick one phrase in particular and you drink. What do you think your drinking phrase? You know, assume you want to get hammered tomorrow night during the speech.
Something to the effect like, I'm serious, or I'm for real. You know, it's one of those things when he says something and he comes up with a, you know, a solution or, you know, a comment, he says, oh, and then he'll follow it up. No, I'm serious, folks, for real. You know, something along those lines.
Do you think he will reference the former president by name? Do you think he'll say Trump during the course of his speech?
I hope he doesn't.
Do you think he will? Doesn't.
I don't see why he would.
I would.
In what sense? In what context?
I would certainly be talking about, let's say, the Trump tax cuts, the Trump response to COVID. I'd find plenty of rationale and reasons to attach Trump's name to prior governance actions or failure thereof. Let's not forget, Don, while the president is speaking, literally the federal government could go into default because we've already exceeded the debt limit, right? They've quit funding some pensioners' pensions at this point. They're using extraordinary measures to keep the government open. And these Republicans, my understanding, Dom, the terrorist demands of these Republicans would actually increase the level of the deficit.
Wow. Don't mind that. And that's coming at you from, what, a government bean counter? You can't take that to the bank, Curdy, although they take the CBO and all their other estimates just fine.
Well, I would wonder from our fair audience, 844-967-2789. A, you watching or listening right here on the Civic Media
Network. Come on, man.
We'll play it out all across the network, Tom. Are you watching? Are you listening? Are you going to make it destination radio or television?
844-967-2789.
Do we have a conflicting Badger game?
I don't know.
You know, Marquette's in the top 10 now.
I saw that. You're right.
Got to acknowledge that for our Marquette friends out there because, you know, I talk a lot of trash about my beloved Badgers. But we've been, I think the Badgers have lost like 6 of 7.
Oof,
if it weren't for Ohio State, man, we'd be the doormats of the Big Ten lately.
I know we just got a couple minutes left in this hour, but the conversation of don't want to be ageist but thing. If given the circumstances, all things being equal, if Joe Biden were 10 or 15 years younger, do you think anyone would be concerned whatsoever about him running again?
You know, quite frankly, it's not Joe's age. It's his capacity. It's his ability to effectively communicate with the American people. If Joe can capture the imagination of the American people, I mean, I tell you what, Bernie Sanders is like 81, 82. I don't hear anybody calling Bernie old.
Right.
Know what I mean? Because it's really the passion, the fire he brings to the table.
Well, and the results of his administration. I mean, come on, look what we came into and look at where we are. Short of the inflation, this is way better than it was under Trump. Remember the COVID, the lockdown, all the economy in the tank, the 6% unemployment. We have, you know, lower unemployment than I've ever had in my entire lifetime right now. I mean, hell, corporate profits. I mean, if there's a problem anywhere, it's corporate profits. You know, the Exxon getting $56 billion last year. I mean, the market's doing what the market does, or fighting with the Fed on everything, but all in all, it's not terrible, man. I mean, what would you want? What would you expect? What would you have anybody else do different?
Dominic, it's a mad, mad, mad radio world we live in. A new brand up around here in Madison. WMDX. Like the Acura, not the rapper. Devil's Advocates. Same as it ever was. Greatest radio show ever. In the next hour, the Happier Happy Hour, the Monday edition, the State of the Union Eve edition, the Biden Visits Madison Eve edition. Well, the phone lines are open. The party has begun. Call us.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/care.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.